turn to Acts 15. This is just a very brief scripture. Acts chapter 15. Today's a day of prayer for our ministry, and we feel and sense the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here, Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. That phrase, Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost, but we say Holy Spirit. It's a better translation, not ghost, but spirit, pneuma, Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Now, the rest of the verse, and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Isn't that interesting? I think in your life, you're going to sense that this is good. This is the Holy Spirit. It's good to the Holy Spirit. It's good to the Holy Spirit and to me. I agree with the Holy Spirit. I agree. I have a sense that this is God. This is God's mind. This is from the Holy Spirit. So the rest of the verse, and to lay upon you no greater burden. Like we could sense, this is the apostles, they could sense that the Lord didn't want to burden the people. He did not want to lay upon them any great burden. He did not want to put on them legalism. He did not want to be told the typical Judaic law approach to religion. It wasn't the Lord. It wasn't the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is liberty. It is love. It is truth. And this is what the Scripture is saying. And I want to say a few things about it. Verse 28, to lay upon you no greater burden. There are sometimes people like to put burdens on people. That's Matthew 23. They love to put burdens. They love to manipulate. They love to make people feel guilty. They love to put on them burdens. But the Holy Spirit does not. He convicts us, persuades us, but he is a spirit of grace, a spirit of God's love, truth, wisdom. It motivates us. So verse 28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And then there's a list of three things, that's all. But other than that, they were free. They were free anyway, but this was not to be another form of Judaism in the sense of living by law, but it was to be a ministry of grace. Now, I want you to take that verse, and we just taught what I believe it is saying, and I want you to say a few more things about it. Verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. What else would feel or seem good to the Holy Spirit? He would say, it's good for you to learn it's good for you to learn grace. It's good for you. It's my nature to help you. I will carry you. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to carry you, to wash your feet the way Jesus washed his feet. It's good to the Holy Spirit to edify. He would say, edify. This is my nature. I want you to encourage the church. I want you to build up the church. It's good to the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to us. Holy Spirit wants us to see Jesus and wants the Bible to be taught to us and the grace of God to be seen in it. It's good to the Holy Spirit to come alongside a weak brother or sister and kind of carry their load, help them. It's good The Holy Spirit would say, that's my heart, that's my mind, to forgive. It would seem good to the Holy Spirit and to us to forgive and forgive again and forgive again and forgive again. The Holy Spirit said, this is my desire. Do you know what this means? It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit has desires. He has desires. He's saying, this is what I desire, that you would not lay upon them any heavy burden, any more burdens. They have enough. They don't need burdens. They need love, forgiveness, encouragement, grace. They need edification. That's why we assemble. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit that we would assemble often. Where is that? He wrote it, Hebrews 10:25. And it seemed good to us to assemble often. It was a good thing. We felt it and we sensed it. It was the desire of the Holy Spirit that we would assemble and love each other and care for each other. Okay? Okay, that's it. Amen. You are dismissed. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, this is what I would like you to do. Many of us, I want this to be like family a little bit. Family meeting a little bit. So I want you to feel, we're going to just take the liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, and to minister to each other. And to have a time of a prayer and fellowship with each other. So I want you to go to somebody, some group, make little groups in the room. We'll do this for 5 minutes or 10. I'm not sure how it'll go. But I want you to make little groups and laugh. I want to hear laughter. I want to hear a joyful sound. I want you to love. I want you to encourage. I want you to laugh. For so it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon them no heavy burden, no more burdens, but a ministry of grace to people. Okay, so why not adventure out of your zone, get out of your comfort zone, and go and pray prayerfully, go if you want to, or stay where you are. I have a move around and have a time of fellowship and edification as the Spirit leads you.
All right, so it's for a word of introduction. I just like those words are just so amazing to me earlier. Just I'm so happy that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to the apostles not to put so many issues upon us in terms of what we have to do to walk by grace through faith. And are you happy that you come to a church where, like, you go home from go home with a message that sort of sticks with you? And I've been thinking, like, yeah, it's good, right? So I've been thinking about, had some things with my mom and took her back to Pennsylvania, was driving through the hills of Pennsylvania today, and just thinking about just the things that we heard on Sunday and the story of Rebecca. And that story is so interesting to us. It's so interesting that, talk about your Christian mingle, kind of like there's no visual for this woman when we see that. And we see that she is asked to take a tremendous leap of faith, to leave her family, to leave her friends, and to come and marry somebody. Can you imagine that? A guy comes and says, I have your husband. He's waiting just for you. And he doesn't even know what you look like. And I read this story, and at the end of the story, we meet a man named Laban, and he's going to figure into the story of Jacob and the son of Rebecca later on, and we're going to find out more about this uncle. But we get a little insight into his way of operation here, because he really wanted to hold on to his sister. It seems like Becca, don't leave me. Don't, you know, we let her stay for 10 days. Let her stay for 10 days. Laban and his mother are like saying, we can't lose the girl. I can't believe it. And then they ask the question. Call the damsel, inquire of her mouth. And they called Rebekah and they said to her, will you go with this man? And her answer, I will go. That's like amazing. That's who did that in her heart? Like who caused her to see what was going to be in her life? I think the Holy Spirit is obviously that active agent in all that we do. We do this ourselves. We go to people and we say, will you come to Jesus? Will you believe in this person? Will you believe in the person who knows you better than you know yourself? Will you come to him? And the Holy Spirit does that. It's amazing. And like she didn't have so much information. She saw the camels. She saw the stuff. She just was taking the word of the servant. We don't even know the servant's name. The servant does all the work here. He prays a prayer, asks God to do something and bring the right woman for his master's son, and it all happens. It's amazing. Will you go with this man? It's like that's like there's no other burden. It's good that the Holy Spirit gives us no other burden than to believe in something that we cannot see. It's amazing. You know, we heard another message on Sunday night about like the wandering character of Satan. He has no place. And I'm thinking you can compare the two things and line up the two messages together, and you realize that Satan really had a lot of information, a lot of talent, a lot of beauty. The scriptures are to be believed, and we believe them. We understand what Satan saw, what he did. And he was like, he whispered to Adam and Eve, he said, you could do better. Trust me, you could do better. You could learn more. You could have more information. It'd be amazing. And I see Laban that way. Rebecca, psst, you can't go with this guy. You really don't know what's going to happen if you do. I will go. God answers those things for us. Okay, so what about doubts? You know, are they a virtue? Are doubts a virtue? That's like a big thing nowadays. If you doubt, like that's like a big, it's a reality. I have my questions. It's a reality. And not every question in my mind and doubt in my mind is going to be answered the way it is in John 20. With Jesus showing up and saying, here I am, just put your hand in my side, everything will be okay. But that did happen to somebody. That's amazing. It did happen to him. But most of us are called to live, as Jesus said, Thomas, you're so blessed because you have seen, but very blessed are those who have believed what they have not seen. And how blessed was Rebekah when she chose to go back? What would happen to her? She saw her man for the first time meditating in a field. So he was a man of prayer. Also in the Bible, he was a one-woman man, which is not always the case in the Bible. You notice that, right? In the Old Testament, Isaac seems to have one wife. One wife. That's kind of interesting, too. But let's not get off the subject. The point is that this woman, she would give birth to Jacob. And Jacob would give birth to, would father 12 sons, and these sons would become the chosen people, the nation of Israel. And this nation gives us the oracles of God. Our Bible is from them. Our Savior, he came from them, and that's such an amazing thing. And it all was answered in the one question, the answer that she gave to that one question. Will you go with this man? I will go. I'm not sure what it's going to mean, but I will go. And all of us, I think, are going to face those kind of questions, maybe more in the future. Will you go with Jesus? Will you still continue to walk by faith? Will you come to the assembly? Will you go to the mission field? Will you knock on a door that you're not sure what's behind that door? It's amazing. Will you go? And when we answer yes to those kind of questions, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. We don't need to know it all. We don't need to know it all. Satan knew a lot, and he got corrupted by the things that he compared with himself and with the the throne of God and just became a wanderer. But we have a home, we have a place, we have an understanding, and all we have to really just answer is simple. It's good. The Holy Spirit said it's good, that it's just this much, just believe. Call upon the name of the Lord and believe, and it'll be amazing, and watch what happens. Right, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 13. Also, could I get the iPad up here? Thank you so much. Thanks, Pastor Steve. We've been teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we made some points on Sunday regarding Rebecca and the servant that went to get Rebecca far away from Israel. And Abraham told the servant, go get a wife for my son Isaac. I don't want him to have a wife from the Canaanite people. And we said, this is like how God wants to have a bride for his son, but not from the world. But they're taken out of the world. They are saved and sealed by the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit, regenerated, and we are the bride of Christ. One day we are in fact, scripturally, but in our experience yet, we are the church, but we will be with him as the bride one day when we have our glorified bodies. But until then, the Spirit is in the world, in a way, by typology, speaking to Rebecca and saying to Rebecca, come, will you go? And she said, I will. And Pastor Steve mentioned that's a measure of faith, to go marry somebody I haven't yet met. Though maybe some of you have already done that. I haven't yet met him, so though we see him not yet we love him in 1 Peter 1, verse 8. Though we have seeing him not, yet we love him. So that's the Spirit of God in us, and we worship him and know him. Here in this parable, we see two principles in chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So on Sunday, we drew a diagram of the world like this, and we talked about the lies that are in the world. And we did this first, because in the Garden of Eden, there were only two people. They fell. The paradise was only in the garden. They fell. They were driven out of the garden and could not enter back in. And we have lost the Garden of Eden. We don't know where it was located, and it's over, it's gone, and the world is cursed. It exists in God. It's already, and he has a plan. We read about the millennium. That's not the garden, but it is a version. It's an upgrade of life that we have not yet stepped into. That day is coming, and then comes the eternal age with a new heaven and new earth. Until then, God has allowed false religions. I'll put here the word false. False teachers, false believers, false ideas, false religions. The devil has sown in the world lies. He is the father of lies. All unbelievers, their father is the devil, John 8:44. yeah, he's a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. The world has this influence. There are spirits that are fallen angels that have become demons that are in this world, and this is the nature of the world we live in. But that being said, as there is the false, there is also the truth. And we drew it this way on Sunday. We said the truth is in the world. How do we know this? Well, because God sowed in this parable, he sowed good seed. Verse 24. Good seed. God's seed. He sowed seed that would bear fruit. Yes, seed. Where did it come from? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in the world. The Holy Spirit is doing his work. When you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And the Holy Spirit guides you in truth. And there's a difference between you and the tares. The tares are false, but this good seed is bearing a good fruit. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He sowed and he left. He went his way. The devil comes and then he goes his way. He does his work and then he goes his way. I wonder how stable the devil's world is. I don't think it's that stable. It gives the impression, but he comes and he goes. It's us that actually get infected and influenced by the devil, and then he leaves. Not us as believers, but us as people. That people are infected by him, trained by him, they think the way he thinks, they have a sin nature, and then he leaves them, and they continue in that same demonic mind and heart. We can say they are demonized or have been affected or trained by the lie. They believe a lie, the devil leaves, but they continue in the lie. The answer to this is, of course, Christ. When Christ came into the world, the devil had no handle. There was no way he could get his hands on Jesus. He had no mind for the devil. He had no demonic thought patterns. He couldn't embrace the demonic mind. Even when he's dying on the cross, I read in Psalm 22 yesterday and thought a lot about it. I just see Jesus being suffering so much, but never giving a place to the devil on the cross. You can read it, Psalm 22. On the cross, he just continues to believe. He is just believing. And this is how he overcame the devil. How do you overcome the world? By faith. 1 John chapter 5. It's by faith we overcome the world. What is in the world there is the world leader, Cosmo Crater, the devil, the evil one. He is also Diabolos, the accuser. He is the impeder. That's a good word. The word Satan means resistor, like holding back. The devil holds back, like a man or a woman wants to make progress with God. But the devil, the Satan, resists that progress. Undoubtedly, he's able to discern the progress. He can see it. If you are making progress in God, he undoubtedly can see that because he's spiritual. And he recognizes spiritual things. Like, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Like you are a nobody in Acts 19. But he can recognize it or discern it. So he is in the world. When he sees God's work, then he is sowing the seed of lies. He sowed the seed of lies even before when the fall happened. And then Adam and Eve are reproducing children, and one of the sons murders the other brother because of the devil. The devil sees the progress, and he is the false teacher, he is the false way, he is the murderer, he is the liar. So we are living in this world. That's why when you see what is happening in Afghanistan, Islamic world, here in this country, we are recognizing what is behind it. Does it upset you? It does me. It upsets me. But it also motivates me to understand the subject. What if we are spirit-filled? What if God gives us his mind? What if one man or one group of people have the Holy Spirit and they are praying in the Spirit? What if the people of God are active in godliness, in the Spirit of God? What happens when we are in the Spirit of God? How much love? How much faith? What kind of energy do we have? How do we live and how do we work? It's pretty remarkable because we have seen it. I believe that when we are, let's do a brief word here on this. When the Holy Spirit is in your life and you are obeying him, let's say, we'll use that phrase, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, right? And to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. What did it mean? When we were, I don't want to make too big of a deal about it, but I really feel it relates. When our leadership in our church said, we cannot close down. We'll do everything we can, honor the authorities, everything we can, but we cannot close down because we're told to assemble. And we cannot give up that right. If the liquor stores or their parking lots are packed, if Home Depot, their parking lots are packed, our church, our parking lot can be packed. Okay? So, I mean, that's what seemed good. At least it seemed good to us. Okay? And we would like to say the Holy Spirit had that mind. Okay? When there is faith and there's obedience, there's results. The Holy Spirit gives you a witness. The Holy Spirit says, this is the way. Walk in it. Now, I want to say something. I think there are Christians amongst us that are discouraged. I think there are Christians amongst us who have bad habits. I think there are Christians amongst us, I don't know about in this room just now, but amongst us generally that meet on Sundays. And they are very precious people, very precious people. They are the people of God. They are very precious. But we carry with us a sin nature, and many times we have temptations. And in those temptations, it says that the devil brought Jesus to the wilderness to tempt him, and the devil tempted him. And I feel that we should understand this, that I could be tempted and fail. I could fail as a sinner. I can sin. I can commit a sin that I feel very ashamed about. I feel very bad about it. I get trapped in it. I get very discouraged. And maybe I stop coming or I quit or I don't feel good about myself and all that stuff that happens. But the Holy Spirit, what would he say to you if the Holy Spirit could speak to you when you have failed? What would the Holy Spirit say to you? It says in Zechariah 3, when the high priest was clothed with filthy garments. Do you know what that filthy word means? Filthy garments. You know what that filthy word means? It's human excrement. Filthy garments. It's garments that are soiled, like to the maximum. It's like filthy garments, and he's a priest. Priests are to be so clean and so fresh, fragrance, anointed, so clean and so righteous before God, but this priest is not. And it says Satan, that's the word for resister, is standing at his right hand. He is standing at the priest's right hand, resisting him. What do you think Satan is saying to that priest? You don't have a future. This is ridiculous. You are filthy. You are a nobody. You are nothing. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the devil. The Holy Spirit wants to say to all the Christians in the world tonight, if he could say something to all the Christians in the world, that this life is about Jesus, that Jesus' blood speaks, that Jesus makes intercession, that you need to know who Jesus is. When the servant went to Rebecca and they got on their 10 camels to go back, because it was a long journey, then the servant could tell Rebecca. It's not in the chapter 24, but he could tell Rebecca, because it says in John 16:13, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of himself. He speaks of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal Christ. He wants to restore. He wants to love. He wants to intercede. He wants to care for the church. He wants to wash the church clean. He wants to give the word. He wants to give us hope. He wants to instruct us. He wants you and I to overcome the devil. He wants you and I to understand the incredible value of Christ on the cross and what his blood has done, and that you and I are born again and have a new nature. By this new nature, we respond by faith. As we respond, okay, we respond and we have faith, and now comes obedience. What happens? As we read in the book of Acts, it said they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 4:31. What happens? There's answers. There's joy. There's a lot of joy, joy unspeakable, full of glory. What happens? There's the deep calling to the deep, Psalm 42, and verse 7. There's strength. There's witness. There's quietness. There's restoration. There's encouragement. There's a calling. How about separate unto me the people, the men that I have set apart for this work? Like tonight, in a few minutes, we're going to pray for Roger, right, Raj? Who's going in the family, going to Turkey. Set apart for me the people, set apart for me the people, there are people working in teaching children, homeless ministry, missions. I remember when we got off the plane, when we went to Hungary, I was so excited. I'll tell you a short story. 1979, I was living in Finland. I traveled in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, and I remember we did this radical trip to Hungary, 1979. And I just sensed, Lord, if this ever opens up, if Eastern Europe ever opens up, I want to be part of that. I was so much like feeling it and thinking about it. So 1979, 10 years later, in 1989, it opens up. And I talked to Dr. Stevens about it. I said, I feel I should go to Hungary. And he never really encouraged me in it. He didn't want me to go in a way, but he trusted that I was hearing from God. And so we went in 1990. And when I got off the plane, I mean, you couldn't have found a happier guy in all the world with three little children, and we had just bought a house, but my wife was awesome. Like, house doesn't mean anything. It's not about us. It's like, what is God doing? What is his will? And I just want to say, when the Holy Spirit is doing his work in this world, I have a small capacity, there is no small capacity, but I bring a glass of water to somebody, or I teach a Sunday school, I make a phone call. As I live by faith in his love, then in that obedience, there's an increase. God increases you. God visits you. God helps you. God leads you. He closes doors. He opens doors. He makes a way. It's a real world. It's a real world of love. It's a world of truth, of doctrine in the soul. How about when we went to Bible college? And again, another big thing of faith. I'm not going to Bible college. I've got another school I'm going to, but I quit. I quit that school like many people do. When they have a calling, they just say, I don't know. And my friend said, you're going to regret this one day. You're going to regret this. Well, I'm waiting for that day to come. Hasn't come yet. That day's not coming. Because I'm not trying to put this in any box. I'm just trying to say a principle. You may get discouraged in your life and my life of sin, but it's not fun. The life of sin is not a blessing. It's a life of boredom. It's a life of lies. It's a life of emptiness. Where is God? It's not fun. But a life of faith, obedience. Don't live in your personality. You might say, I'm not that way. It's like, whatever, go to the cross and be spirit-filled. Who knows what way you are? That's ridiculous. I have a personality type this way. It's like, I don't want to hear about your personality type. I want to know, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit leading you? Are you living by faith? Yeah, by temperament, I'm very shy. Well, get over it. Go to the cross and be spirit-filled and walk by faith in God and find God in your life of faith. This is what changes a church. A church can settle down in just maintaining. A church is an assembly of spirit-filled people that live by faith. And they obey God. And they obey God. And they do what God wants them to do. How about relationships? You fall in love with somebody, but put the brakes on. Hold it. Wait a minute. Are you sure? Pray about it. Think about it. Is it God's will? How many of you guys have fallen in love with 10 or 15 or 20 women all at the same time? You are crazy. We are crazy. We don't know how to organize our life. We don't know how to live our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us and guide us and lead us and take things to the cross and see God do his work. Take your money to the cross, your talents to the cross, your personality to the cross, your girlfriend to the cross, your boyfriend, your single life, take it to the cross, your nationality, your ethnicity, take it to the cross, take all of this world, take it to the cross, and be filled with the Spirit and know God. This other diagram, this one. Both are going on at the same time. They are both going on. The lives are going on, and the Holy Spirit's work is going on. Both are happening at the same time. There are lives, and then there is the Holy Spirit filling us and leading us. And we fail, but we know how to deal with it. And the Spirit of God wants to teach me. Don't live in your failure. Get up. Go by faith, receive grace, walk in Jesus, learn how to sing a song, say a prayer, trust God, laugh a lot, rejoice always, and minister to people. Don't stay in your own group, but go to the cross, Because sometimes people that are outside of your group are needing your portion and be led by God to minister your portion to people. Those are a few things for us tonight on a Wednesday night. And that's all I think I want to say. God bless you. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the assembly in your person. It's unbelievable how much you must love us. How shameful it is for our sins to even be thought about in heaven, for God even to deal with us as sinners. How shameful, how wrong, how ugly, how ridiculous it is. It's so stupid. It's so wrong. It's terrible. But why did you come, God? Why did you come here? Why did you come, the Holy God? Why do you care? Why did you speak to Abraham? Why, Lord? Why did you care? Why did you save anybody on the Noah's Ark? Why was Noah and his family saved? Why didn't you just forget? Why didn't the whole thing go under water? Why did you care? Why do you care about us? God, why? It's unbelievable. Wow. Your love is unbelievable, God. You gave your Son. And we want to walk in Him, know Him, rejoice in Him, have an awesome time in Him. Lord, teach us how to live, God, and rejoice in you. Be forgiven. You're forgiven. Your ugly sin is gone. It's forgiven. You confess it. It's gone. You are clean. You are a new creation. Walk and enjoy in Him. And you might say, I don't know. I want to. Yes, enjoy. Walk in Him. Rejoice in Him. Get in the habit of it. Rejoice in Him. Relate to Him. Get in the habit of it and know it. Lord, use us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.